No, maybe not.
On May 25th, 2015, and this is the time scheduled for the pre-hearing conference in the matter of Dakota Access LLC is citing application for the Dakota Access Pipeline Project, and it's PSC case number PU-14-842, OEA case number 2015-0029. And the purpose of this pre-hearing conference is twofold. First, we want to address the multiple petitions to intervene that have been filed with the commission. And then upon a conclusion of addressing the petitions, we'll go ahead and move forward and look at the hearing procedure that we will follow for each of the public hearings that have been scheduled for this matter. They're to take place May 28th in Mandan, June 15th. In Kildare and June 26th in Williston. And at this time, I will take appearances for the record. Again, my name is Wade Mann, and I'm the Procedural Administrative Law Judge, and I'm appearing from my office at the Office of Administrative Hearings. And Mr. Biella, can I get you to state your appearance on behalf of the applicant?
Yes, Your Honor. Brian Biella and Blaine Johnson on behalf of Dakota Access LLC. And Your Honor, we're getting kind of a reverberation from you, but it's okay, I guess.
I'm noticing that as well. I guess I don't know what we can do about it.
If you're not speaking, why don't you mute your telephones? That would help a lot.
Okay. All right, so I've got the appearance of Dakota Access. Mr. Pelham, if I could have you note the appearance on behalf of PSC advisory staff and identify who you have with you.
Sir, are you on a cell phone?
I am not. This is Judge Mann. I'm not on a cell phone. I'm at my office on my landline.
Could we get you to hang up and dial back in? The connection is very bad.
This is Brian and Blaine. We just dialed back in. It sounds a little better, but
it's better.
This is Judge Mann. Do you just want me to redial mine, or are we okay now?
I think we're okay now. Let's keep going.
All right. Mr. Pelham, go ahead and note your appearance, and if you could just please identify all the individuals there with you.
Thank you, Judge Mann. Zachary Pelham, Special Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the Public Service Commission. I'm present in the Capitol Building, 12th floor. Sitting beside me in the public hearing room is Public Utilities Analyst Julie Prescott. To my right, Staff Attorney Jack Hsu, also General Counsel Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco. Pat Fawn is present, along with Commissioners Fedorchak and Commissioner Crisman. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Campbell, or excuse me, Mr. England, I apologize.
J.J. England, thank you, Your Honor. J.J. England on behalf of the landowner interveners.
Okay. And Mr. Kelly?
Matt Kelly, also on behalf of the landowner interveners.
And just to clarify, I guess, Mr. England and Mr. Kelly, you're not the only landowner intervener anymore. There are also other interveners, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but it's my understanding that you filed 34 separate petitions to intervene on behalf of your landowner clients. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And we'll address that a little bit further. So, Mr. Geezy, can I get your appearance and who you represent?
Yes, Your Honor. Brian Geezy from Mandan. I'm in my office in Mandan. I represent Douglas E. Bopp, B-O-P-P. He's from Mandan, but his land is south of New Salem.
Okay. And Mr. Van Grinsven?
This is Brian Van Grinsven at my office in Minot. With me is Tyler Bakke, and we represent North Dakota Pipeline Company, LLC.
And then, I guess, with respect to the petitions to intervene, Mr. England and Mr. Kelly, the commission received three separate, I guess, batches of filings of petitions that were filed by Mr. Kelly and Mr. Broughton from your firm, Mr. England. The first batch, I guess, of four petitions was filed May 11th, And the first petition in that batch is from John Schultz. So I guess for purposes of identifying their collective group, I would just refer to them as the Schultz interveners, if that's okay.
That's fine, thank you.
And then there were also on May 14th, there was another batch of 21 separate petitions to intervene that were filed by Mr. Brock and Mr. Kelly. And then on May 18th, there were another 9 petitions to intervene that you filed for a total of 34 petitions. Mr. Kelly, is that correct? Are there any additional petitions?
No, there are not, Judge.
Okay. You know, before hearing from each of the counsel for each of the petitioners, maybe to shortcut this or circumvent it possibly, my understanding initially was that Mr. Pelham, you had spoken with Mr. Biella, counsel for Dakota Access, and at least after the initial group of petitions had come in, Dakota Access had indicated that it was not their intention to file a response or to oppose the petitions. Mr. Biella, does that still hold true?
Yes, it does, Your Honor.
So Dakota Access does not oppose any of the petitions, none of the 34 that were filed by Mr. Broughton or Mr. Kelly, or the Douglas E. Bopp petition, or the North Dakota Pipeline Company petition?
That is correct, Your Honor. We do not oppose any of them.
Okay. Mr. Pelham, how about you on behalf of PSC advisory staff?
The PSC would take no position on the intervener applications, Judge.
Okay. Well, I've reviewed the petitions that have been filed. The Public Service Commission does have rules with respect to the requirements for filing the petitions to intervene. There's also in 28-32-28 of the Century Code, there's a provision with respect to intervening in adjudicative proceedings. It appears that the petitions satisfy the requirements set forth, and in light of the fact that there is no opposition to any of the petitions to intervene, I guess it's my intention to order that the petitions be granted and each of the petitioners be allowed to participate in this matter as interveners. And I guess then that brings us on to the next point, the procedure that is going to be followed at the public hearings. Before we get into that, does anybody have any comments with respect to the petitions to intervene?
Your Honor, we haven't discussed the North Dakota Pipeline Company intervention, I believe. Have we discussed that? I don't believe we have.
I guess I had included that with the landowner ones. Are you opposing that one, or do you have something you'd like to say with respect to that one?
No, we are not opposing. I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yep. No, that one is included as well.
Okay, thank you.
It would be the 34 Schultz petition, the Douglas E. Bopp petition, and the North Dakota Pipeline Company petition. All of those will be granted, and they will all be permitted to appear as interveners in this matter. So, Mr. Pelham, anything with respect to the petitions before we move forward?
No, sir.
Okay. So that, I guess, brings us to how we handle the procedure at each of these public hearings with the advent of the addition of all of these interveners in this action. And I guess I'd like to hear from Mr. Pelham on behalf of the commission, but before I do so, I'd like to get a sense from each of the interveners as to what level of participation that they're seeking in this matter. And I'll start, Mr. Kelly, are you going to speak on behalf of the Schultz interveners, or is Mr. England?
No, this is Mr. Kelly, and I will speak on behalf of the interveners, the 34 Schultz interveners.
Sure, and in particular, what I'm looking for, do you intend to appear at each of the three hearings? And if so, are you looking to call witnesses, or have, you know, each of the interveners testify, or are you going to have, you know, one representative intervener? Are you going to, you know, make some sort of collective statement on their behalf, or are you simply looking to have the ability to cross-examine witnesses? Can you give me a sense of what you're seeking to accomplish on behalf of the interveners?
You bet. We anticipate that our involvement will be relatively minimal. We will attend all the hearings. We may have some of our interveners or other members of our group attend, and I guess I would ask that if we do have a group that attends, that the PSC would grant us a brief opening at the hearing, at each of the hearings, if we have our members there, to give a brief statement, nothing long. And then we would like the opportunity to cross-examine witnesses, although we anticipate that there may be no cross-examination done by our group of interveners. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I guess with respect to, you know, you mentioned opening statement, that would be given by either you or Mr. Broughton. You wouldn't have your landowners testify?
Well, if the council would prefer, we could have our landowners testify, but I would see it as more of a, rather than testimony, maybe a brief statement so that they could organize their comments and get them out of the way early, because I know that the hearing will have a more structured procedure, and that may be a way to kind of shortcut getting in the things that our clients would like to say, but without interfering with the procedure.
And will you be present at each of the three hearings?
Yes, I will.
Mr. Deasy, how about you?
Yes, Your Honor. I would like to be at the Mandan hearing on May 28th, but a family kind of an emergency surgery thing is happening in Minneapolis where I have to attend. So probably neither I nor Mr. Bopp will be at the May 28th hearing. If we could submit a written affidavit and maybe a written statement, I would appreciate that. And or we possibly could attend the hearing in Killdeer.
I'll let, before I make any comment on that, I'll let the others address whether or not they'd be agreeable to a written affidavit. I'll take their thoughts first before I make any comment on that.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Van Grinsven?
Yes, Your Honor. We, North Dakota Pipeline Company, doesn't have any interest in complicating these proceedings any further than necessary. I would envision that we would probably make some type of statements. We'd like the ability to cross-examine witnesses, but at this point, I don't know that will actually be necessary. If the commission requires some sort of technical information from North Dakota Pipeline Company, we certainly can provide witnesses or make them available to provide that information. But right now, I would just anticipate a statement with the possibility of cross-examination.
And Mr. Van Grinsven, are you intending to appear in for three hearings?
At this point, yes.
All right. Okay. I wanted to get a sense of what each of the petitioners or interveners, I guess, in this case were looking for. Mr. Pelham, I'd like to hear your thoughts on behalf of the commission at this point. I guess if the commissioners or staff have their own comments after you're done, that would be great as well. So go ahead.
Thank you. One of the things I'd like to discuss and bring up now at this hearing is the order of testimony. Typically, the company would present, would call its witness. Examination would then take place, followed by examination by myself, a staff attorney for PSC, and a staff person, typically, followed by questions by the commission. The commission's preference would be to keep that paradigm in place after the commission, then allowing attorneys for the interveners to question, cross-examine witnesses at that point. As far as, I just want to clarify, and I think that I think that Attorney Kelly, Attorney Giese, and Attorney Van Grinsven did so. But as far as the questions that are going to be asked during cross-examination, or although it wasn't mentioned, direct examination of any witnesses, those questions would, as I understand, would be asked by the attorney for the intervener. I think that probably for purposes of just keeping the flow of things going and you know, and being most efficient about it, that would be the commission's preference on that. As far as opening statements go, I believe, and Mr. Kelly can correct me if I am misstating what he said or what I thought he said, I thought he said that that the individual interveners would like to present a an opening statement as to their position. Certainly, the commission welcomes all comments for any individuals involved in this process as public comment. There is a period, as you know, Judge, for public testimony following the examination of the witnesses. I'm just wondering, for purposes of flow, whether or not that would be the best procedure to be put in place to allow those individuals to testify after all of the evidence has been presented by the company, all the questions have been asked by the attorneys representing both the commission as well as the interveners, as well as any rebuttal witnesses offered by the company, to then allow those members of the public who may be or may not be interveners then to testify. So those are my comments at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Hank, let's address that right away. Mr. Kelly, I guess I wasn't clear either. I thought maybe that either you or Mr. Broughton were going to give an opening statement on behalf of your collective group. Is that incorrect, or are you intending to have one or more of them come up and give their own sort of opening?
I would, and I'm glad that Mr. Pelham brought it up, or Attorney Pelham brought it up, because he's correct, that we would anticipate that the attorneys would give a brief opening statement on behalf of the interveners.
Okay.
And then I had asked that the interveners themselves, if they wanted to, could make a comment, but if there's a public comment period at the end after all the questioning, I would agree that that's certainly the most efficient way to handle it, so we have no problem with that at all.
Okay. Do you know at this point, Mr. Kelly, do you have a sense how many of them are going to want to testify?
I don't have a sense of that at this point. At the Mandan hearing, I would anticipate, you know, one or two at most, but I think there may be quite a few more at the Killdeer and then the Williston hearing.
Okay. So, I guess, Mr. Pelham, do you have any problem with either Mr. Broughton or Mr. Kelly giving a brief opening statement collectively by one of them, and then but any other sort of testimony from the interveners themselves would then be during the or before the public comment period?
No, I think that is just fine, and I appreciate Mr. Kelly clarifying that. Thank you.
Okay. And then I guess with respect to Mr. Giese's, I guess, request, I'll start with you, Mr. Pelham. What would you think about a written affidavit if Mr. Giese and Mr. Bopp are unable to attend the Mandan hearing? I mean, that would obviously, an affidavit, you wouldn't be have the ability to cross-examine Mr. Bopp. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, the commission really does not have any strong opposition to that. You know, certainly, you know, after seeing the affidavit, if questions did arise, I would, you know, possibly we could, you know, talk to Mr. Giese about appearing at the Killdeer hearing, as he indicated might be a possibility. But at this time, the commission does not have any objection to that proposal.
How about you, Mr. Biella, on behalf of Dakota Access?
Yeah, I can understand the situation and sympathetic to that. And I think if we could see the affidavit, the sooner the better. But do reserve the right, if need be, to request Mr. Bopp to attend one of the subsequent two hearings, if need be, for cross-examination.
Okay. Mr. Giese, how do you feel about that? I mean, that seems fair to me. Would your client be willing to appear for follow-up cross-examination if requested at one of the subsequent hearings?
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that could be the case. The only other consideration I have is Mr. Bopp is presently undergoing some various medical treatment, which, as we all know, when you're doing this serious treatment, sometimes you have good days and sometimes not. So his health may be a concern, but I think he could be available for testimony in person, and if not, at least by telephonic means, Your Honor.
Okay. So I guess we will allow the submission of an affidavit, Mr. Geezy, by Mr. Bopp, subject to the ability of the other parties to cross-examine Mr. Bopp, either at one of the later hearings, and if, I guess, you know, if for some reason he's unable to attend one of the other later hearings, we would have to have some opportunity for the other parties to cross-examine him. Otherwise, I don't think that the affidavit would be able to be admitted or considered.
Yes, Your Honor, that seems fair.
Okay. So with that, Mr. Geezy, will you be not attending any of the three public hearings? It'll just be, unless further asked to for cross-examination, it'll just be submission of the affidavit?
That is very likely, Your Honor, and I will keep the Killdeer meeting open as an alternative.
Okay.
But I'd certainly agree with the requests of other counsel and the PSC and the court.
Okay. All right. Mr. Biella, can I get your thoughts, I guess, on Mr. Pelham and the PSC's order of procedure? Do you have any comments on that?
Your Honor, we would agree with that order procedure and would recommend it.
Okay. Mr. Kelly, do you have any objection to the order at the hearing?
I do not, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Geezy?
No objection, Your Honor. Sounds fair.
Mr. Van Grimsden?
No, Your Honor. No objection.
So just for clarification, with respect to the witnesses, Kodak will go first, followed by Mr. Pelham on behalf of the PSC, then the commissioners, and then upon conclusion of the commissioners' questions, Mr. Schultz or the Schultz interveners will have the ability to cross-examine, then counsel for North Dakota Pipeline Company, and then I guess if counsel for Mr. Bopp is in attendance, he would have the ability to cross-examine the witnesses then. Is that correct, Mr. Pelham?
That sounds exactly right. Thank you.
Okay. And then with respect to order of presentation of each party's case, it would be Dakota Access as the applicant would present their case, then followed by the interveners. I guess we would go first with the Schultz interveners, then North Dakota Pipeline Company, and if for whatever reason Mr. Bopp needed to testify later or cross-examination, we could go from there. And then public testimony, any issue with that, Mr. Pelham?
No issues with that, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Kelly?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Geezy?
You sound good, Your Honor. I don't like what I'm hearing.
All right, and Mr. Van Grimsden?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Pelham, do any of the commissioners or any staff have any comments that they'd like to make?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Is there anything else from the standpoint of the PSC we need to address?
I think we've covered it. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Biella, how about Dakota Access?
No, Your Honor, I think we've covered it all.
Okay. And any of the interveners?
Nothing from the Schultz interveners, Your Honor.
Nothing from North Dakota Pipeline.
Mr. Geezy, anything?
Your Honor, one thing I have a question on.
Okay.
The various maps that are part of the procedure, the petition, I'm wondering if there could be a way that those maps are numbered or identified so a person could relate to them more specifically. You know, other than possibly section, township, range? I'm just wondering from a logistic point if that could be accomplished somehow.
I'm not sure what you have in mind.
I think we want to, Mr. Bopp, in his testimony or affidavit, may want to refer to not only the maps that show the location of the proposed pipeline across his property, but also how it may relate to some other people's persons, landowners' property in other areas.
Are the maps, I'm assuming the maps are in the application, and I don't know if they're numbered by page or anything within an appendix, or I'm not sure how it's set up, but can they be identified in that manner?
That's my question.
Well, I think they could. I guess I don't have them in front of me. Mr. Biela, I guess, how do you have the maps? I mean, are they numbered? I don't know which specific maps, I guess, Mr. Giese's referring to, but...
Well, the maps in the application are numbered. For instance, I'm looking at page 69 of 161. That's a map. Page 14. The maps are numbered within the application.
Perhaps by page number?
I mean, essentially, Mr. Giese, it's your affidavit. I mean, if you want to identify it by, you know, township and range and so forth, but then also I think it would be good to identify where the map in the application is located by, you know, whether it be by page number or if it's in a specific appendix. If you can do so by those means as well.
Well, hopefully we can get that accomplished, Your Honor. Thank you.
Yep. It's in the lower right-hand corner of each map, Your Honor, the page number.
Okay.
Okay, so that's fair. I'll use the page number.
Mr. Giese.
Judge, we here at the commission just pulled three binders full, and as far as the numbering, the page numbering does appear on the bottom right. So exhibit, you know, referring to the exhibit and then a page number within that would seem to me would help Mr. Giese out.
Right. And I guess at this point, though, if he's pre-filing his affidavit, we don't have the exhibits numbered yet.
True.
So we may have to... You know, the application may be Exhibit 1. I guess I don't know that. I'm assuming that. But at this point, he may just need to reference the application and the, you know, page number since we don't have an Exhibit number for it yet. It hasn't been admitted.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's true.
Yeah, that sounds good. We can accomplish that.
Anything further? Mr. Pellin?
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Biela?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Kelly?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Giese?
Nothing further.
All right, Mr. Van Grimsen?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. And then I will follow this up with a written order on the petition and then just addressing the procedural issues that we've discussed today. And that will conclude the pre-hearing conference. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
From the normal TV we had? No, we have to set up more tables, and Jay needs to know we need more microphones.
Right. Because, I mean, we'll at least need a spot for Van Grinsen and Matt Kelly, and, you know, they they can sit, you know, at least another table. Obviously, that's a good question. I mean, ordinarily, I'm just thinking of four if we were here, you know, we would be just kind of next to each other. And it wouldn't be behind, I don't think. It wouldn't be over the whole time. I don't want to look over those places. But, you know, if we can space it out so that maybe if the tables are all, I mean, they can all be connected. I mean, they don't have to be separate. Like, our table doesn't necessarily have to be separate from